Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. We gather here once a month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka. I am glad to be back. I missed last month because I just things just did not work out with family wise and all that kind of stuff. So I am glad to be back, and I want to thank those that covered for me. It was very nice of them to do so. So as your host, I have the honor of conversing with many gifted mediums, and today is no exception. We're going to welcome Gina Simone to the show. She is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, who's felt the presence of spirit since the age of 11 and has been practicing mediumship for the last 15 years. As is often the case, she at first dismissed her abilities due to fear and her inability to process what was happening. However, after significant study and mentorship, she embraced her abilities and blossomed into the medium that she is today. In addition to connecting the spirit for messages, she also teaches her clients how to connect with their own loved ones. That is awesome, by the way. She is the author of Whispers of Love, Spirit's Messages from Heartbreak to Hope. Her website is www.ginasimonemedium.com. Ladies and gentlemen, again, we're continuing this awesome trend of not having any commercials on our shows. So sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on us. Let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Gina, just a couple of announcements. Bob Ginsberg's book is available, The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the world of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. It's available on Amazon. All the proceeds go to Forever Family Foundation. And I also want to mention, as you guys know, that we had a big hurricane in Florida, Hurricane Ian, and it actually destroyed Bob's home. On Sanibel Island. So if any of you are trying to reach him or, expect quick responses from him and stuff like that, just, he's probably pretty busy right now trying to rebuild everything. But our hearts go out to him. It's awful to have something like that happen. And you probably know that happened, but our hearts and prayers for Bob Ginsberg. He did not deserve that, but God felt otherwise, or the nature felt otherwise. I mean, it's crazy what happened. Anyhow, our show today is conducted for research and informational purposes. Your questions are more than welcome, but keep in mind that Gina is not going to be performing any readings tonight. So what we've been doing is we've been bringing up questions from our listeners that they have emailed in. Thank you very much, and keep it coming. We pose those questions. And of course, if any of our listeners, if you have the urge and you have any questions for our esteemed guest, feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. So having said all that, Gina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy Thursday to everyone.
Yeah, happy Thursday. Yeah, I'm taking tomorrow off, so for me it's like a Friday.
Good for you.
Yeah. So where do you live again? Where were you?
I'm on Long Island. I'm based on Long Island. I've lived here for most of my life. And I'm actually out in Suffolk County on Long Island.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. And well, I mean, enjoy. I mean, right now the weather's great, and you know, I personally love this time of year. This is just fantastic because it's just, you know, the leaves are changing, the nights are nice and cool for sleeping, and you know, the humidity's going away, which I love. So
yeah, it happens to be my favorite time of year, because it's just reminds me again that, you know, with seasons of change always comes a new opportunities, new experiences. And now we get to experience the fall foliage and, you know, pumpkin pies and pumpkin picking. And it's just another reminder that life continues and that life is always changing.
Yep. You know what? We're going to start with, we have a call actually right away, right off the bat. We got Anne from Arizona on line one. So let's welcome her to the show. Anne, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, you got a question? Anne.
Hello. So I actually, if you have time, have two questions, if you would allow.
Absolutely, go ahead.
My first question is in regard to, I lost my husband in February, and there was no connection at first, which I understood, you know, through reading and learning a little bit, that's pretty normal when you're in deep grief. And then there was like an explosion of activity. And then there was, again, nothing that I can sense. And I've heard that after some time, it gets quiet, but I thought it would be longer because, you know, we're only 7 months out. And then I guess my second question actually kind of goes into this, but I wanted to get your opinion on that first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So let's take your first part of your question. So first of all, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Me too.
Thank you.
I can only imagine, as with all of our losses, that we want to feel our loved ones around us right away. We miss them so much that we want to feel them 24/7. Some souls actually can come through in the very beginning to kind of give notification through sensations or feelings or dreams. Sort of like if you ever go on vacation and you call back home and you're like, okay, we arrived, we're here, we're okay, see you in a little while. A lot of souls will come through to give the validations that they're still with us. They're usually smiling, very happy in the very beginning. And then over time, as you said that you've read and that you've learned, the spirit gets a little bit more quiet. As you said, there was no connection in the very beginning, and then you got an explosion of activity, and then everything is now starting to quiet down. And I understand that it's only been 7 months, and you were kind of maybe hoping and expecting it to take maybe years for the soul to communicate less and less. But in actuality, we have to remember that our souls are returning back to where we originated from, whether you want to call it the universe, heaven, source. Our souls are returning. And when we return back home, there's a lot of learning that the soul is going through. There's a lot of levels of consciousness on the other side that these souls, our loved ones, are now there learning and growing. And we feel, you know, as being humans, that they still belong to us, and we want to feel them and see them and always have them near us. But in actuality, they belong back to the source, to our humble beginnings, and they're learning on the other side. Now, I will say to you, having lost my son 3.5 years ago, I was in the same place that you are, Anne, you know, wanting to connect with him all the time in dreams and wanting him to feel me, feel him in signs. And so I understand exactly what you're going through, but your loved one is trying to let you know that they're there. A lot of times what will happen is instead of coming directly to us, whether it's in a dream or whether it's in a feeling, a sensation, or a sign, you might find that your loved one is actually going through to other people where they may say, I don't know what your husband's first name is, but they may say, you know, I had a dream about John, and he came to me last night. So in many ways, spirit may be trying to get through to us, but our grief, our wall of grief, that's what I call it, the wall of grief, may be so thick that and we may be missing them even more so as time goes on, that it becomes even harder for spirit to kind of let us know that they're around. So you may find that your husband is actually trying to go through to other people that you know. So I don't know, has that happened at all, Anne?
Not really. Not too much, no.
Okay. So you said he's gone to your son?
Yes, my son, but it's not his. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We have to be very patient and understanding that our loved ones are learning and growing on the other side, and that they can't always make themselves available. Now, what I will tell you, since you said that there was an explosion of activity in the beginning, that's awesome. And I'm sure that that made you super happy and connected and feeling like, okay, physically he's not here. I can't speak to him. I can't talk to him, but at least he's sending me signs, or he's coming through in visions, or he's giving me messages. And that makes us feel so connected. And then as soon as the soul starts to get a little bit more quiet, because they tend to be doing more work on the other side and learning, all of a sudden we start to feel, well, you know, did they remember me? Are they forgetting me? It's not that they're forgetting us. It's that, remember, they're learning on the other side. So just give him a little bit more time, and you'll see that there will be waves of time where there's a lot of activity and a lot of signs. And then there's going to be times where it's a little bit more quiet. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. And that's encouraging. That is.
Yeah.
Something this morning. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you said that there was like a two-part to the question, and you were going to share something this morning.
Yeah, this morning, you know, I thought there was a little bit of a sign, because I was kind of, you know, I do talk to him, and there was kind of like a little knock, you know, because I've asked him to answer me with knocks, and I haven't heard one in a long time, so I wasn't expecting it, and I heard a loud one, and I thought, is that you? You know, and I was kind of doubtful, because I hadn't heard one in a couple of months, so maybe that. It was. Maybe he was actually responding this morning.
He actually was. And the other thing that I'll say to you is, and to anyone listening, is that our minds play terrible tricks on us, where we don't believe the things that we see or hear. We question it. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm not going to use the word frustrated, because spirit does not feel those emotions on the other side, but they do get saddened, because they are trying so hard to give messages in one format or another. And then we sit there and say, well, is this really you? Like, did I just hear that of my own? Was that really you? And we start to question it. And spirit is saying, okay, you've said for so long, you haven't heard from me. Now you're saying, okay, give me a knock. You finally heard a big knock. And then a part of you is questioning, well, was that really from him?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's almost like the very thing that you're asking for, he's giving it to you. And then you're going, I don't know if that's really him. So can you see how a little frustrated they might get?
Yeah, that sounds like something I would do to him.
We all do. Mm. And we all do that. It's just this.
Yeah, we all have egos. That's the ego getting in the way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's funny, because that brings us right into the second part of my question. So always I can remember, and you know, I think you mentioned before how we kind of think that we're kind of crazy, or maybe that was me thinking that. But I've had the ability to hear things in my mind, which you don't really want to tell people. And I have proof that it's happened, because I've seen it. and it's very consistently accurate. So, but when it comes to my husband, I wonder, is that him or is it me wanting it to be him?
So what is it that you hear or see? What was it that was consistent that you said?
Messages.
Messages that you're hearing in your mind.
Yeah. So I will. I can hear like something that's going to happen. I don't know how to explain that.
Yes.
I can hear something that's going to happen.
I'm going to tell you what this is. We communicate via eyesight, hearing, tasting, speaking, touching. In the spirit world, they are the same languages using the same senses, and they're called clairs. So in your particular case of hearing, it's clairaudience. So you hear things in your brain, just like if I asked everyone listening, you know, hear a train whistle in your brain right now. You could probably hear it in your brain, even though you're not hearing it outside of your ears. So what happens is spirit uses those senses to communicate with us, whether we're seeing a sign outside, like on the floor, or we're hearing them calling our name and we're thinking, am I crazy or did I just hear him call my name? In your right. case, you are hearing him using, he's using the inside of your ear. He's using your clairaudience, which is your ability to hear without actually physically hearing anything. So he's using your brain and your inner ear to speak to you. But because we can't see it, touch it, hear it outside of us, we immediately go to doubt. Nope, that can't be. Nope, I must be crazy. So spirit always wants to validate when you are hearing it in your ear, and I get it. You don't want to say to a lot of people that you may hear him speaking or you may hear him tell you things that are going to happen because you don't want your loved ones to think that you're crazy. And I get that.
And if I can offer something real quick, you know, our brains are constantly thinking. We're always, you know, that's us as humans. We're constantly thinking. So if a thought pops into your head that is, has nothing to do with what we were just thinking about. It just randomly pops into your head. That is spirit communication, something communicating with you. Usually, you know, this is a way to discern whether is it my own wishful thinking or is it, you know, or is it real or not. This might help you determine that, because a lot of times you might be in a thought process, you might be remembering something and you're in that mode. And then, you know, something consistent comes along. Well, that's probably from, you know, your own psyche or from your own brain. But if it's something completely different that just enters all of a sudden, there's a good chance that that is, you know, a spirit communication.
Right. And as Roman said, whether that's a thought or a sound or a feeling, and it's just coming out of nowhere, that's spirit using your ability to communicate with them to get a message across.
Okay, that will help me also to discern when it might just be me wanting it to be a thought from him that I'm making in my own mind. I know one time, just a few days ago, he interrupted my thoughts. I never knew you could think two thoughts at once. So I knew that was him. That was a really odd.
That's feeling. Wonderful. That's wonderful. So don't discount it.
Yeah, that one I didn't. But sometimes it's very hard to know what's him. You know, I've never experienced that through any of this before because it was never so important to me.
Right.
You know, because I have experienced that most of my life. But on this situation, you know, I do want to know what he's thinking about certain things. And, you know, ask him these questions or, you know, just hear from him. So
Just know he will always give you that guidance. Every time you need to know something or you want a little bit more information, he's always ready to give you that guidance, just as he would if he were here on Earth.
Okay.
Well, Anne, thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you very much. Thank you both of you for your help.
You are so welcome.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. So, hey, Gina, I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your son. I I did not know that. I guess we share something in common because I lost a son as well. And so we're kind of both in the same boat with that, you know?
How old was your son?
Five.
Oh, just starting out in life. Oh, that's so terrible. Ours, he was 27 when he passed from complications of leukemia. And he's the one that actually started me to write the book, Whispers of Love, to help other people understand the process of dying, what the soul goes through, and what it's like to be on the other side, and now communicating back with your loved ones who are still on Earth. So he kind of spurred that for me to do that in his honor.
Fantastic. We have another caller. We have Suzanne from AL. I guess that's Alabama, either Alabama or Alaska would be my guess, for online too. So Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I'm from Alabama.
Alabama. All right. I got to learn my state acronyms.
No, I'm not sure what Alaska is. I heard you say that. I'm like, I'm not sure where their acronym is. But
it's AK. It's AK.
Okay. All right.
Wait, isn't that Arkansas?
Maybe it's Arkansas.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Okay. I'm not the only one. Welcome to the show, Suzanne. You got a question for her?
I do. Okay, like both of you, I also lost a son, and he passed away this past April, and he was an adult. He was 32, but he was like my neighbor for the last 2 years, and him and I were very close. And it was a sudden death. We didn't get to say goodbye. I was out of town. So we've all struggled with it. He has little siblings that from the age of 12 to 30. So we're kind of across the board. But we all have dreams about him. And we still talk to him. Like, you know, he's still with us. And we'll still put out food every once in a while. I mean, we'll have a drink, put him a drink out, and you know, I still feel his presence, and so do his siblings. But it occurred to me today, I just had this overwhelming sense of sorrow, and I just felt like when I do see him again, will I ever see his face in physical form? I mean, when we cross over, does he still have the same appearance, or is it energy? You know, and I was just wondering, did I, you know, see his face as it was here on Earth?
Okay. Suzanne, first of all, that's a fantastic question. And, you know, as parents of children who've crossed over, it's one of the most painful experiences. And I will tell you, though, that your loved ones on the other side are, we turn into pure energy. So what that means is our soul continues, but does not take on the life form that is here on Earth. But when we cross over telepathically and energetically, you will recognize his soul as him. So you won't be seeing him the way you saw him here on Earth, but your souls are connected. You will be attracted to him and telepathically know that that's him. Now, when a soul comes through in a reading, what they do is they give a mirror version of what they looked like here on Earth. And that is to validate with specifics of what they looked like, what they sounded like, maybe some characteristics and attributes that they had, all evidential information to validate that that is the spirit that the medium is connecting with. But the reality of what spirit looks like actually is on the other side, is just a ball of energy. And then you too will become a ball of energy with all of your loved ones on the other side. And each one will be attracted to the other, like, oh, this is my son's energy, or this is my father's energy. You will know it's him, but you just won't physically see him, his physical attributes.
You know, I've also read that because it is energy, it can take form in many forms.
Yes.
Right? So maybe at first when the transitions are over, you know, you hear stories about people coming to greet, you know, loved ones coming to greet you when you transition over. It probably, you know, that energy will make itself into like something that you can recognize, you know,
like
physical form, even though it's not really a physical form on the other side. It's a higher vibration. But from what I've read, I mean, everything in that realm, everything is actually more real than in this realm.
Correct.
It's so much more vibrant, so much more everything. So when you do see your son, it's going to be like seeing your son like magnified a billion times. Like, you know, you'll know it's him, and you're going to feel closer than you ever were.
Correct.
On Earth.
So, yeah, okay. That's promising.
Yeah. So don't worry, Suzanne, that you won't recognize him or that he'll look differently. He will present himself in a way that energetically you will see and feel and know that it's him. And you won't be thinking, well, I don't necessarily see his face the way that I did here on Earth. You will feel him, as Roman said, on a much higher level, an expanded level. There's no question you'll know that it's him. No question.
And Suzanne, it sounds like you and your family are doing a wonderful job of, you know, embracing his spirit. With, you know, setting the drinks on the table and all of that kind of stuff. That is such a positive thing to do to get, you know, to get those communications. Definitely.
We are so competitive with each other. I mean, we are like, I had a dream about Garrett last night. We're like, what? You know, so we're like, we're just like, we search for him. And because we just feel so empty without him. But, and in my dream, I had a dream last Thursday, and this is why I thought, well, he looked the same, or, you know, when I cross over, you know, will he be the same or have the same physical appearance? But it's because when I see him in my dreams, he is in his physical form, you know, in a dream. And this last one was, you know, me actually seeing him looking through the window inside the house. And I was looking at him thinking, is that Garrett? Because I didn't know if it was his little brother. And I kept looking at him thinking, who is that? And I was like, is that Ben or Garrett? And I just went to the window and I was like outlining his features. And I was like, oh no, that's Garrett's, you know, acne scar right there, or, you know, or that's Garrett's nose. And I was just so intimately close to his face. And I just thought, I miss his face so much. And I thought, will I ever see his face again? But what I will see sounds like it's so much bigger than just his face. I mean, it sounds like it's so much more grand.
It really is. And the other thing I want to bring through too is that spirit, there's no concept of time on the other side, whereas here on Earth, everything is chronological. On the other side, when spirit is showing themselves to you, like in a dream, he may actually come to you maybe as a 7-year-old or as a 15-year-old, or he may come to you as a 32-year-old. He's going to come to you in all the ways that you remember him, because to him on the other side, you are only one age. I am only one age. On the other side, they are all of the ages at one time. And I know that that's hard to understand because we come from a world where everything is chronological. But on the other side, they are young and old all at the same time. So you may see him coming through in a dream where you think, oh, is that his little brother? But meanwhile, it really is him, maybe at the age of 10 years old. So he's going to come to you at all different ages.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome, honey.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Suzanne. Take care.
You're welcome. All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that is quite interesting about what you were just saying about the concept of time and that they have no time on the other side. There is
no. And I, even in readings, loved ones from the other side will give me the sign of, you know, see you in a little while. Well, that doesn't mean that their loved one here on earth is going to pass anytime soon. It's just they have no concept of time. So it's like when we arrive, our loved ones on the other side, that their feeling is, oh, wow, that was quick. Meanwhile, it could have been 40, 50 years. That's chronological right here on earth. They have no concept of time. So to them, it's only a few minutes.
Right, right. Just like, you know, for our life here on earth is a blink of an eye. It really is. When
yes
you compare, you know, the life of a soul. What is your take on that? Have you gotten any communications about, you know, when did the first soul start existing? And do you have, like, I mean, these are very profound. This is a very profound question. But, you know, if we're talking about time, you know, I believe that, you know, the species on Earth, us humans, we evolved from, you know, plankton or whatever you want to call it over, you know, millions of years and became human. So at what point did we have souls, or were our souls, you know, crossing into physical bodies of people from other, you know, in other planets, or how does that work? It's all, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Our energies have been here for millions of years, and some of us could have come from other dimensions. We also have animals that have souls. So where did they start off? You know, you're right. That is a very deep conversation to have. But we do have souls that are constantly being generated, constantly coming from other dimensions. And our loved ones are always waiting for us on the other side, because again, a 50, 60 years of a person's soul, 70 years on earth, is such a blink of a time compared to the time of the universe since the universe first began. Who knows when that was? But I don't know if there's a specific, this is exactly when souls started appearing. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Right. Yeah, it's a difficult, I mean, I think that's one of life's biggest mysteries. I think by design, we're never supposed to solve it.
No.
We're supposed to, I think we came here to learn some hard lessons,
yes,
kind of an accelerated growth path with the physical hardships and the ups and downs and this thing we call life that everybody goes through. We're very brave souls to embark on it.
Yes, very brave. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know what? We have another caller. We have a Nelson from Hawaii on line one. So Nelson, if you're there.
Hi.
Do you hear?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nelson.
Thank you. I enjoy watching your weekly shows. And I mean, those alternating shows and whatnot, because I've been grieving. I just lost my father September 7th. And my dog on Mother's Day last year. And here's the thing that's been happening. And you guys were talking about it, and that's why I called. As a grieving person, I see my dog like my own son. I don't know how to explain it. Some people probably would look down on me. I don't know. But last night, before I went to sleep, I put his doggy fur by the cordless phone and asked him to beat that phone. This morning at around 12:53, he beeped it like a couple of times. And this phone does not beep for any other reason. So I know that was
beautiful.
Him. But the thing is, what is it? Yeah, so I know it was him, but I noticed that it occurs at certain times of the early morning, never during the day. It used to happen during the day, but now it's usually like 1 o'clock in the morning at 2 o'clock when I ask him to do so. But are they like away from us during that other time you went to school? I know he's an animal, but I don't differentiate because I believe that all souls are souls at one with God. So is he like going to school or something? Or is that would explain why I don't get constantly beeping phone when I ask. It only happens usually like in the Wee morning.
So Nelson, as I was telling Anne before when she was talking about her husband, we assume since spirit is not with us that they belong to us, and they don't. And trust me, I've had plenty of readings with clients where I would bring through their mother, their father, their sister. There was no reaction. And then I would bring through the dog and the person would just start to bawl and cry because that dog meant everything to them. So I mm-hmm. understand the connection. Love is love, regardless of who it is that you love here on this earth. But we can't assume that our loved ones, whether it's in human form or an animal, that they have to constantly let us know, constantly, 24/7, that they're with us. Mm-hmm. So what you did mm-hmm. was you asked your dog for a sign to beep that phone, and the dog did that. And that's supposed to make you happy. But what ends up happening is we get very sad because we want that more. We want it all the time. And again, there's other dimensions. There's things that our loved ones and their souls are doing on the other side that we can't expect them to always be here with us 24/7, even though we want to.
Okay. Yeah, that leads me to the other question, because you brought that up about their learning. Is that like they're going to school? Because I've read from like Michael Newton and whatnot, that they actually go to school there. What have you found regarding this learning process? Is it like a school, or is it just a continuing melding with God?
So it is the soul on the other side that is doing a life review, reviewing things that have happened to them, the ways that they've reacted, the lessons that perhaps they needed to learn. And the soul is evolving mm-hmm. on the other side. That's why souls come here on earth, to learn through lessons. And hopefully we learn those lessons by the time we cross over. Those of us that don't, maybe we left this earth too early and didn't have an opportunity to learn all the lessons that we could have, or we leave this earth not having learned the lessons, the soul is doing a review. And in that review is looking at all the ways that they behaved and the ways that they perhaps should have chosen differently. So it is kind of like a school, not where you're sitting down in a desk with a teacher, but it's a school in the sense of you're learning about your life and the different choices that you had, and what you chose correctly and what you chose that wasn't correct, that perhaps brought pain to other individuals here. So yes, it is like a school process. The soul is learning.
Do like Thank dogs, I have one more question. Do dogs have that same process, or is it different for them? Because I get all kinds of mixed information.
You have to understand, what is a dog? It's pure, unconditional love, right? That's mm-hmm. what dogs do. Mm-hmm. They give us pure, unconditional love. So what is it that they really need to learn? Not much, because they're probably the closest mm-hmm. thing that we have to God here on earth. And isn't dog mm-hmm. the word God spelled backwards? So
yes.
Dogs are nothing but pure love. So more than not, they are just frolicking, and they are enjoying themselves on the other side. And they have this great experience with you here on earth. And now they're having that beautiful experience in heaven.
Okay, and that would explain why he's frequently with me, because
yes,
they don't
always
need to learn that much anymore.
Always.
Oh,
always.
Okay.
Okay, Nelson, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
So, that was interesting. I have another question, one of the questions, and I'm going to start, you know, we've been getting a lot of calls, so let's get to some of our listeners' questions. Gina, how do you deal with skeptics? Has anybody come up to you, like, accusing you of saying, you know, you're taking advantage of people and so on?
Yeah, you know, having had this gift since I was a child, and then going into the normal corporate world, and then realizing that I didn't belong in the corporate world, I was very mm-hmm. cautious about telling people what it is that I did. Even my own family didn't understand it. So I don't have people who personally attack me, but I'm very cautious with telling people what it is that I do, because I don't want to disrespect their beliefs. I want to honor however they grew up or their religious beliefs. But there are a lot of skeptics. And when I do get someone who brings, like, let's say a wife brings her husband in and he's a skeptic, I let spirit do their work. I let spirit give the information and the validation. And what I love in the end is not so much that I've changed or that spirit has changed the person's mind, but perhaps they've opened up their mind to maybe there is something else beyond life here on earth. And that's when I see that little light bulb go off. That's where I think, maybe this person is learning more about why they're actually here, that there's a bigger reason why we're here. So for me, skeptics, I just leave it up to spirit. It's not for me to change their mind, but I love that spirit does it every single time.
That's nice to hear. So, hey, your book, Whispers of Love, you wrote that a while ago. Do you have any new publications on the way or anything?
Not yet. Like I said, I wasn't going to write the book. And then I kept getting these dreams of my son coming to me and saying, you know, there's a higher purpose to this. Let's bring healing to other people. Let's bring them understanding of what the process is. And, you know, he walked me through writing this book to help people understand what the process is and what happens and how spirit communicates with us. So not yet, no new publications, but hopefully soon.
Okay. So another question was, do you ever get like famous people come through, like, you know, from like historical figures, Abraham Lincoln, for example?
Okay. I'm going to tell you no. I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
When I am connecting with spirit, it's for the sole purpose of bringing through evidential information or a message to a sitter, to a client. That's what my gift is. I can't speak about other mediums. So no, I'm not going to get Abraham Lincoln or JFK or anyone else, because there's no need for me to bring through that spirit, because there's no one that they are trying to connect to that's sitting in front of me. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. But what about when you're alone? Do you ever get like communications from anything like that?
No. And I'm going to tell you, and I'll also tell you why. My gift is like a faucet. It turns on when I'm sitting in front of a client or I'm on doing a Zoom call or a phone reading. And then as soon as that session is over, my own angels and guides shut the faucet off. So there's no connecting to spirit on the other side, because for me, my gift is only to bring evidence and information to clients. It's not to sit there and talk to Abraham Lincoln.
Right. Okay. No, that's interesting. I mean, I think different mediums might have different approaches,
yes,
different experiences.
Absolutely. But for me, no. Because here's the thing. If I were to speak to him, I then get that human part thinking, well, am I really talking to him? How can I validate it? Because I don't have a family member that's saying, oh, yes, he used to eat, peanut shells or whatever it is that he did that was weird. I don't have anyone to validate that. So I immediately go to, well, am I really getting this information? Or is this just something that I'm making up in my head? So I even say that to myself.
Very interesting.
But when I'm sitting in front of someone and they show me spirit shows me something, then I'll say, this is what they're showing me. The person is validating. Oh yeah, that's exactly how they used to hold their fork when they ate, in a very weird way, like a shovel. Then it can be validated. So for me, my gift is just to validate the existence of life on the other side.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, I've had other mediums on the show that have told me that, you know, when they go take a shower, they have to say, no mediums, you guys stop talking to me at this point because it's my private time, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, they shut it off that way. But it goes beyond sitting in front of clients. It's kind of with them almost all the time, unless they say stop, you know. So, but hey, different strokes for different folks, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you speak about what happens? Here's another question from somebody wrote in. Can you speak about what happens when a sitter cannot follow through with the advice that spirit offers during a reading?
When they're given advice and the person here is just like, I can't do that. I can't do it.
Yeah, I guess you could interpret it that way. I wish it was written differently, but that's, I'm just reading it verbatim.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you want to repeat?
When spirit crosses over, they become part of source, part of God. Okay. Our spirit and soul goes back to our originating source. They become very loving energies. The way that as parents, we would turn to our children and give them advice, and even if our children don't want to follow through with the advice, we still love them and we encourage them and we support them and we say, we're here for you no matter what. Spirit does the same thing. They will give guidance and advice from the other side. But if the person here on earth is too afraid to follow through or is not able to make the changes that need to be made, they are viewed by their loved ones on the other side with nothing but pure love. There is no disappointment. There is no getting angry. Spirit comes from a place of, I know that you have to learn your lessons here on earth, just like I did. I'm here for you when you are ready to move forward and make the changes that need to be made. I will be here supporting you and guiding you. So it's always done from a place of love.
So, okay. What about somebody like, you know, Hitler or Stalin or hopefully soon to be Putin? What happens when they cross over?
Ooh, when they cross over, they have a tremendous amount of learning to do and life review. And again, no one on the other side is going to judge them for that because they are going to be judging themselves. Imagine yourself playing a role here on earth, almost as if you're in a play and you're playing a particular actor. Afterwards, you can see yourself as that human that plays that role as an actor, but you are not that person. On the other side, you're not the individual that you were here on earth. You are just the perfect version of who you were supposed to be here on earth. So you are watching yourself play these disgusting, horrible roles affecting humanity. And the judgment comes from yourself of how could I have done that to masses of people? How could I have murdered and maimed and tortured? How could I have done that? And that is where the learning comes from, when the soul is feeling the anguish of what they've done here on earth.
Very interesting. I've read some books that, you know, every hurt that you've inflicted since you were a child, since you first had consciousness, you will relive the pain and experience the pain yourself.
Yes, you will. Yes, yeah, that's 1,000% correct. Every single spirit that I read for shows me that. Every single one.
Boy, am I in trouble.
Me too. Which I knew about this when I was little, but oh well.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, we're human. We make mistakes. We always make mistakes, and we inadvertently, you know, can cause harm to others inadvertently, you know, or, you know, maybe on purpose sometimes, who knows, you know, everyone's
right.
Different.
Right, exactly.
I mean, there's some books of, you know, many books on the mediumship that say that, you know, there's different vibrational states, and your vibrational state, the better person you were, the higher the vibration when you cross over, and the higher level you'll reach when you cross over.
You know, it's funny that you said that, Roman, because I always, when I'm in a reading, as the introduction indicated, I love to teach my clients how to connect with their loved ones, because I certainly don't want people thinking that the only way that they can communicate with their loved ones is to go to a medium, because we all have the ability to connect with signs, feelings, dreams, impressions. So I always explain to my clients that your loved ones, we all enter God, the universe, source, heaven, whatever you want to call it. We all enter it. Think of like a 1,000-story apartment building. Those that have murdered and maimed enter at a very, very low level. Those who have lived in love and prosperity and compassion, like a Mother Teresa, enters at a very high level. And then the rest of us are somewhere in the middle. And the job of the soul is to review its life and learn from those lessons, every wrong that they've done, to move to a higher vibration. That's the whole purpose of the soul. So when these people were calling in and saying, but I want my loved one to give me a sign. I want them to show me that they're always there with me. Your loved ones are busy on the other side, reviewing their life, trying to get their vibration higher and higher. There's a job for them to do.
Very interesting. I mean, many of the books that I've read talk about seven different levels, but I like the way that you put it, that it's like a, you know, I kind of agree with you that it's more, you know, it's more like 1,000 levels or maybe a million. Yes. Who knows, you know? Very interesting. So when you give your readings, how do you prepare yourself?
Well, number one, meditation is huge because as a medium, I need to ground myself. I also need to surround myself in white light because I only want to deal with souls who are of the light of God. I don't want any dark energies or entities coming in to talk. So I protect myself, I ground myself, and I ask that the information for the highest good of everyone concerned comes through. I ask spirit to come through to validate themselves, to make sure that we know exactly who we're speaking about and speaking to. I ask them for validations about their life, memories from when they were here. And I put myself in an open, almost like a channel. I make myself the pipe, the clear pipe, so that spirit can download their information to me so that I can then share it with the sitter.
Fantastic. So before, I mean, our time is almost run out. Let's just give yourself some plugs at this point. How do you, like, how far are you booked out, and what is the best way to get a hold of you, that kind of stuff?
So my website, as you said, is www.GinaSimoneMedium.com. And I am booking out 2 years in advance. What's interesting is, and I'll just give a little snippet to Forever Family Foundation, but I always say for those people who have gone to retreats, that they've seen me there, whether in California or Connecticut, I always try to get them in a little bit sooner, because they have given to this amazing organization that I am so proud to be a part of. So even though it's a 2-year wait, it's like, if you contact my office, you know, and you let us know which retreat you were at, we try to squeeze you in a little bit sooner.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I appreciate talking to you, and we all appreciate your insight. This is awesome. I think we cover a lot of topics, and I'm glad you're here to, you know, to share this time with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed speaking to the callers that called in with their questions, and we are all going through the same process of loss. And we are all heartbroken, but in the heartbreak comes the realization that through the signs, the symbols, the dreams, spirit has not left us. They're just showing themselves to us in a different format.
That, amen, sister. That's all I can say to that. It's great. That's great. So everybody, thank you for tuning in. And as Bob Ginsberg and the late Frank Ginsberg love to remind us, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and one day science is going to prove it. So again, thank you, Gina, and good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.